So a month ago, I shared a bit about someone in the community saying to me, you know, if I was to go to church, I would go to North Valley. I don't know if you were here that Sunday. It seemed to really spark something in us to think about, what does that mean for us as a church? What does it mean to have that kind of role in the community? And are there ways that we can lean into that even more? I thought about what it meant for this person to have a church to fall back on, to reach out to, should they ever feel the need to. I've heard a lot from people here at North Valley that say, if it wasn't for North Valley, I don't know that I would be going to church. So there's a common thread that runs throughout this. We often are a community of people that are post-evangelical, maybe grew up in the evangelical church, and there's some things that aren't working anymore. So I've watched a lot of people, myself included, take those things out before God and say, is this what I believe still? Or is there a way that it needs to shift to God? And are you with me in this? Can I ask these questions? I think you need a place of safety to be able to do those, to ask those questions, to bring your full self, the doubts, the faith, the desire. You know, I hear a lot of people saying, like, I want to believe in God. I want to believe that God is right there with me. And sometimes that's really hard, especially when we're... especially when our country is part of things that are just wrong and evil. So, God, be real. So, friends, we're going to enter a new series of what does it mean to be a place of refuge? What does it mean to be a refugee? Who are our refugees? And what does God have to say about all of it? The Webster definition of refugee is a person who has been forced to leave their country in order to escape war, persecution, or natural disaster. Our theme site for today is a word cloud. I didn't know what that was till this week. That's a word cloud. With other words that are associated with refugee, displaced person, escapee, asylum seeker, exile, outcast, foreigner, expatriate, prodigal, migrant. Maybe you've been one of those things throughout your life. Maybe you know people you love that can find themselves in one of those places. I don't know how national holidays are designated, but in addition to Juneteenth this week, June 20 is also summer solstice, which, okay, I get how that one was named, but... It's also National West Virginia Day. I know. Did you celebrate that one? It's also Ugliest Dog Day. And June 20 is also World Refugee Day. I didn't know that. World Refugee Day is a day to remind us, to encourage us, and for us to rededicate ourselves to the task of welcoming the stranger. Those who are refugees fleeing from persecution, fleeing famine and natural disaster, those fleeing war, those who have lost their homes and everything that they know and simply want to breathe free. Our passage for today comes from Matthew 25, which if you've been in the church for a hot minute, you have heard this passage, right? It's the sheep and the goats where God says, sheep, I'm going to put you on my right, and goats, I'm going to put you on my left, and those that are my sheep, you have fed the hungry, you have clothed the naked, you have given clothes. That's the naked part. I should not go off script. Let me find it again. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was sick and you tended to me. I was in prison and you visited me. And the people ask God, Lord, when did we do this to you? God says, whatever you did for the least of these children, you did for me. And conversely, on the other side, God says to the goats, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you didn't invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not care for me. The goats on the left will say, God, when did we see you hungry or thirsty? And God again says, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. Matthew 25 emphasizes that when we care for others, we care for Christ. Now, either that elevates the status of people, or it brings Christ to the level of humanity. Either way, God has been clear that we are called to care for others that are hungry, thirsty, sick, in great need, and that when we do that, we serve Christ Almighty. When we care for one another, when we respond to one another's needs, when we do what is just and kind and merciful and loving, we have done it unto God's self. Ephesians 6:7 says it this way, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. These passages implore us to treat others with respect and compassion. Serve all people wholeheartedly, for whatever you do for one of the least of these, you do for Christ. I knew this theme of refuge and refugee was prolific in Scripture, but I had no idea until this past couple weeks. One source mentions that over 400 verses specifically talk about caring for immigrants, with caring for the poor being the only thing referred to more frequently. Also, greed is often. Don't go off script, Leslie. I don't want to read too deeply into that, like 400 times means that God cares the most. But I do think it's absolutely fair to say that God deeply, deeply cares about immigrants, displaced persons, and folks that are pushed to the margins of society. Which means if we are called to bring about the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, then we are called to deeply care about these folks as well. I think these verses about being a refuge and caring for the refugee tell us about the character of God, about what is important to God. And friends, sometimes in Scripture, I am confused. Like, I'm trying to read between the lines, what is going on here, what specifically, directly God is saying, especially when Jesus is talking about in parables, and we've got to figure that out. But God is super direct and specific here about what we're supposed to do. Exodus 22:21, do not mistreat or oppress a foreigner, for you were foreigners in Egypt. Don't do this. Don't oppress. Don't mistreat. I don't know about you, but a question that has plagued me my entire life has been, why was I born in Southern California to white American parents? Why was I born there? Why wasn't I born in Kenya or in Gaza or in Iceland? Is it just dumb luck? I don't know. I know I had nothing to do with it. And even though it's a small example, but I felt acutely what it meant to be a stranger in a strange land when I went to Kenya. Now, obviously not a Kenyan. And it's not at all the same as being displaced. But in Kenya, I felt like an outsider. I was in a different culture. The language was different. The food was different. Everything was so different. And it was all new. And I didn't feel afraid, but there were men with machetes and machine guns when we were hiking. I did feel afraid then. But for the most part, I didn't feel afraid in Kenya because people were so kind and hospitable and welcoming to me. Not for any other reason other than I was a stranger and they were welcoming me. It was humbling to say, it was humbling at the least. And it compelled me to want to do that for others. And I'm not good at this. I was acutely aware of how often I don't do this. Some passages from Leviticus show us the character of God. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. If any of your fellow Israelites become poor and are unable to support themselves among you, help them as you would a foreigner and stranger, so that they can continue to live among you. Friends, this was a very real prayer request just 10 minutes ago. This isn't Moises. Moises is also somebody in our community that has folks have rallied again. I mean, I think I looked last time, it was over $100,000 raised for him. And Angela's coworker is someone, not Moises, it's someone else also in our community that is needing to stay anonymous and asking for help. So hopefully we're going to rally and help Angela's coworker. We are encouraged to treat foreigners as equals so that they can continue to live among you. Even if our current administration says different, God's rule and God's law is clear. The rights and dignity of all people should be respected. And we see that God cares deeply for the vulnerable, and we're told directly to help them. Psalm 146:9 says, "The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow." What does that mean for us individually, to sustain the fatherless and the widow? As a church, what does that mean? Refugees are not just statistics, but fellow human beings that have experienced unimaginable suffering. We're seeing families being ripped apart right now in our community and all over the nation and the world. These are people seeking safety, a place to live, a way to sustain their family, friends that they can count on. These passages show us God's love and compassion for those that are displaced, for the foreigner and the widow. It's a clear directive for us to show compassion by welcoming the stranger, the refugees, and the displaced. Maybe I'm preaching to the choir a bit here at North Valley, and I'm so grateful to be a part of you. I don't know how many of you reached out the day that you sent an email to the listserv about ICE being down at a local school. So many of you said, "What can I do? How can I help? How can I respond?" Those acute moments are times for action, and it's also through relationship. It's through knowing our neighbors, through making friends with our kids and their parents, our coworkers, It's through knowing which organizations in our community are doing the direct care and support. So it's knowing what Unidos is doing and how we can encourage and support them doing the direct work. Because sometimes we are scared. We're not safe people because we're not in a relationship. But we can support and encourage the organizations that are a known safety net and active in our communities. So I encourage you, if you don't know what Unidos is or who they are, look it up. It's online. There are ways to support and encourage. And if there are other organizations that you know that are being active in our community, share it on the listserv so that we can know about those together. And if there are ways that we can support and encourage that work. It means passing legislation to ensure rights for all people and safety for all. I'm terrible about reaching out to my legislators. But that's an easy thing to do. There are so many simple ways to do that now, through a text or from an email that is like, here, just copy and paste this to your senator. What does love and hospitality look like in our response to strangers, to folks pushed to the margins? Friends, I have the honor of acting on your behalf quite often by giving freely of our benevolent fund. Just 2 weeks ago, we had a woman who was 81 in our community, recently diagnosed with cancer, who was looking for help with her phone bill. Right? It's a real easy yes, because that's part of North Valley's mission. Because we have a fund set up to do that work. And I have the honor and privilege of being able to say yes on your behalf. Hopefully we are treating others the way we'd like to be treated if we were in the same position. If I was an 80-year-old woman with cancer, living alone, and I was in danger of my phone being turned off, there'd be churches or people that would help. In the back of my mind, I'm always thinking, isn't the church supposed to say yes? So I hope it's okay, but I say yes every time. as long as it's there and we can do it. But what are other ways we can respond to folks pushed to the margins? How do we position our church to be able to help more often? This woman called us because she was given a handout from the drop-in center. As you know, this is one of the churches that helps out people in our community. So it's being involved in the drop-in center and active. Another group of people that are pushed to the margins are those that are experiencing houselessness. And we have seen firsthand how some folks believe that this is part of the mission of the church. They just don't want it in their backyard, right? We experience that here with Peace Trail Village. And it's part of our heartbeat here at North Valley. And it seems as though it is part of what we are known for in our community. 2 weeks ago, someone left a gift to our church at our front door in this painting. I don't know if you can all see it. It was wrapped in a trash bag with a letter attached to it, just outside the front door. So Lisa found it when she came in. And with it, there's a letter to the staff and members of North Valley Friends Church. So I'll read you an excerpt. I sleep in my car at night, often using your parking lot. I also pray in the labyrinth at night. I do not leave messes, and I'm often gone for work before anyone else arrives. I'm clean and sober, and I work full-time as a cook in a popular local restaurant. Although I attend a different church in town, I rest here because of the location and solitude. I'm aware that more services are offered. However, I have plenty of food and shower at the gym, but I would like to express gratitude for all the services you offer. This letter goes on to say about how to expand on the difficulties they know that we've experienced. And they wanted to encourage us. They wanted to encourage us and know how important we are to them. Without ever meeting face to face, they're probably not going to come to church. We may never see this person in through our doors, and yet, somehow, because of our heartbeat, this is what we're known for, at least with some people. What a beautiful gift to receive. It seems as though, as a church that is trying to be faithful to the ways God has called us to be, we are seeing some fruit. I believe this is fruit. So it is good to take a moment and a step back to look at our reputation or place in the community. And I'm so honored to be a part of you. And I wonder if there are other ways we are positioned to respond to the needs of displaced people, for those seeking refuge. So this is the beginning of our series. We're going to dig deeper into this. I'm going to close our time of worship with prayer, so please join me. Loving God, as people helped the Holy Family to flee persecution, to find safety, may we commit our efforts and prioritize all that we can to welcome the stranger. Whereas we do it to the least of these who are members of my family, says Jesus, you have done it unto me. God, we love you. And we're grateful that you hold us all in your mighty hands of love.